All right, so welcome back to No Source Needed. This is a very special episode we got going on. We have special guest comedian Bernard Casey. How are you getting on, man?
Not too bad, lads. Are you good?
Thanks for coming on.
No bother at all. Good to be back in UCC again.
Yeah, you went there before, we were just saying.
I did, yeah. This amazing building wasn't here when I was here.
Oh, really?
No, not at all. I'd say this is only 5-6 years old, maybe. Maybe a little bit more.
Yeah.
Definitely wasn't. No, if we had this opportunity to record podcasts and stuff, I think there weren't even... it's so long ago since I was here, podcasts didn't even exist. So
I feel like there's a very weird transition between... I feel like the bloggers of, like, back then have become the podcasters of today.
Yeah, probably. And I think the whole kind of social perception and acceptance of it has completely changed. Like, if you were a blogger back in 2008, 9, 10, or whatever, they're like, who does your man think he is?
No. Oh, no, we get that as well.
But it seems to be a little bit more kind of like cooler. Do you know, like, even if you did a podcast 5 years ago, they're like, oh, your man thinks doing a podcast. But now it's kind of like, oh, wow, can I be a guest sometime?
Often some of my friends are just kind of like, Key and Shirley, like, and I'm just like, oh, soon enough.
I'll throw it in the calendar there. Like.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyways, I suppose we'll just kind of, we have a few questions lined up for you, and maybe something later on, if you could, a little game that we might try and play with you.
Yeah, sure, no bother at all.
So first question, simple enough, how did you get into comedy?
Right here in UCC.
All right.
Yeah, right here in UCC. I was always kind of doing sketches on, like, for stage and stuff like that. Like, so we did a lot of youth club work and charity shows and things, fundraisers below at home in Kerry. We used to do a lot of that, and always had an interest in stand-up. That was kind of my early teens, my Saturday night, you know, after mass, hang out with people around the village, and then they'd go home, and I'd go home and throw on Comedy Central, or Paramount, as it was known as back then, and watch the Junglers Unleashed, The Comedy Store, all that stuff, and was just kind of became slowly but surely obsessed by how people got into it.
Yeah.
Like, I remember listening to Dylan Moore, and I had him on my iPod, which was so unique at the time. My cousin is a bit of a tech wizard, James, and he managed to put on Dylan Moore onto my iPod, and I was able to listen to it every day, and I suppose I was listening to it so much, I was like, how did he write that joke? So I got so interested in it that I was walking through outside the library here, and I saw the old notice board that said UCC Comedy Society, join here, I think it was like Tuesdays at 7 or something like that. And on the day of it, I remember the day of it, I was doing a geography field trip where we were around Ballyfahan drawing footpaths and whatever, and it was the worst day.
The most exotic part.
Exactly, as you can imagine, yeah.
Right up the road from Hushburger.
Just around the corner from Bat Days. Next stop, please. But it was such a wet, damp day as well. And I got back to the house, I lived in Green Street, it was Galabi Street actually that year. Galabi Street, and I got back to the house, and I was like, oh, will I bother? I'm so wet and damp and tired, I won't bother going to this thing.
Yeah.
And just something said to me, if you don't go now, you'll never go, because it was my last year of college. And this is around late January, early February. Mm. So I said, go. What else are you going to be doing? It's only an hour. And I went, shown the ropes by those who were running it, and just never looked back, really. Yeah, so loved it straight away.
Right, the Comedy Society is still pretty big these days.
Yeah.
Like, they have the Clubs and Socks Ball every year, Clubs and Societies Ball every year in Rochestown, and I think they won there's like an award for basically,
they're quite active online as well, you'd see it, like, and they'd have a, you know, the proper, kind of proper, unique comedy style as well, where you're like, I'm not in on this joke, but I bet you it's funny.
A friend of ours actually did a little challenge with the Comedy Society, if you remember this, Alex.
Yeah, he ate 19 Weetabix in 10 minutes.
19 in 10 minutes. And you're not allowed to drink water, is it? Or just have to...
You're allowed water, but it's dry Weetabix.
I think so. It was quite bizarre. He basically he'd eaten 8 of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
He'd that was the record for the day. Do you know?
And he said he'd keep going.
And then he left. Yeah. And by the time he'd come back, his buddy who's in the society was just like, dude, someone's after eating 10. And he took that as a personal insult on on the accolade that he had just earned, and. Down went another 11.
Jeez, what did he win? It was a 10-euro voucher for Fat Badger.
He probably ate that equivalent in Weetabix.
I know. The last thing you want to think about was food, I'd say.
He came up to us later that day. He was like, lads, I'm not feeling great. I was like, really?
Yeah, that's quite a lot of carbs. Like, it actually reminds me of that. There was a world record for this kind of off-trail run in Australia, this guy broke the record by like 11 hours. And people were like, oh my God, how did you beat the record by 11 hours? And he was like, nobody told me we could stop to sleep. Or the rest of them, were, like they were told, like it was, okay, you run. And then at like 11 o'clock, everybody stops and goes to bed.
Yeah.
But he never heard that. So he just kept running. And he accidentally beat the world record by 11 hours or something. An accidental genius.
Yeah, I love success from pure idiocy.
Oh,
like,
yes,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So kind of moving on from, hey, you got into comedy, your first gig then, it was Rag Week 2011, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. It was the Kane building here, G19. That room we used to have, I think it was a geography lecture in there as well. I was class, like, just obviously the nerves were unbelievable. They were extremely high. I remember walking down Connacht Avenue just before the gig, and one of my friends had given me a bottle of Heineken because it was Rag Week, like.
Yeah.
And I mean, this is post Celtic Tiger austerity Rag Week. There was awful drinking going on, like, you know, dire
recession
stuff,
drinking.
Like,
oh, yeah.
You know, like the recession had hit the top and it was working its way down slowly, but we knew it hadn't hit us properly yet.
Yeah.
So we're like, get it all in now. Get it all in. Yeah. So, but remember walking down Connacht Avenue and I'm just.
But Paddy's Day were going under, like.
Yeah, literally. And that. I remember puking up the bottle of Heineken behind the car in Connacht Avenue, and then coming in, and we all sat in the front row in the G19 in the Kane building. There was 8 of us on, and I was on 7th. So like you had to sit through 6 other acts, but you were so nervous and you're trying to keep your material in your head your whole time. You're just focused. I don't know what anyone said, you know. Yeah. You're obviously laughing to be polite, but I couldn't focus, or, you know, just the nerves and everything. And I had a lot of drunk friends at it as well, so a little bit more pressure. But once I started, I was like, oh, this is class, you know.
Did it just come naturally for you? Like,
I wrote it, all right, you know, I knew what I was going to say and what I was going to do. And it was a 10-minute spot. And geez, just the reaction, I got such a great reaction. It was a massive kind of relief, really, like, that I was like, oh, I finally did it.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to do this. And I do remember after thinking, going, okay, I think this is the direction I'm going to go down. Because when you're doing arts, you don't know where you're going. Like, yeah. You know yourself. Like,
look at us now, like.
You know, here we are. Let's try a podcast. You know, but it is, you're doing, okay, will I do teaching or will I do a master's in something else?
Yeah.
But I knew kind of from literally that moment, I said, okay, I'm going to definitely follow this. This needs more investigating.
Yeah. Was the stuff that you're doing at the time, was it very similar to the kind of stuff you're writing now, or do you feel like your kind of style has evolved?
I guess back then, when, you know, when you're in college, you particularly around second, third year, you like to think you're smarter than you are. Do you know, like, you're kind of like, yeah, I'm in college, I'm in university. So I think I was trying to be clever, do you know, with the jokes, and it was pretty, you know, I thought it was clever at the time, but looking back, maybe it was me trying to be too clever. And not really just focusing on having an actual good time and a laugh. But no, it still is pretty much the... I don't even remember the whole material. Mm. Just kind of... It's still around the same area, about me coming from the country, living in this, you know... Living in the city, our attitudes to country and city life and things like that. So
yeah, no, because you do great bits on the sort of the cultures as... Is the you know, the fellow with long hair who does music, he's on drugs.
Yes.
If he doesn't do music, he just has long hair, he's gay. But
that's it. Yeah. And if he is a combination, he's a gay druggie.
Exactly. that
was literally the attitude, and I suppose it was kind of poking fun at our own thing too, because they're like, you play football, but you're into this stuff. Is there something wrong with you? Like, I'm like, no, I just enjoy this as well. Like, you know, well, it was crazy. No, about him at all. You know, I was like, well, you can only be into this.
Yeah,
you know,
it's like, very one dimensional sometimes. The environment.
Yeah, like there was a guy at home, I remember in secondary school. He was from one of the other clubs, the football clubs, and he missed training once because he had a guitar lesson.
Oh my god! Is he still with us?
He was called Elvis then for the rest of the year. They're all, look at Elvis. He missed one shitty under-15 training, like, at the school.
Throwing Elvis in cornerback there.
Elvis, boy, yeah.
Oh, Jesus. He says to the ref afterwards, thank you very much.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, shook up.
Yeah. Another bit I'm very fond of is the when Americans coming over to local Irish pubs, and like, I actually know this kind of personally because I have worked in kind of out like Blarney direction, you know, there's obviously a lot of our tourism. Up
to see the castle?
Yeah, exactly.
Kiss the Blarney Stone?
Exactly. I've been the one holding him while they kiss the oak.
Oh, right, yeah.
And it's very funny because obviously like, I would frequent the pub across the way and... Oh, it's very funny when the the Americans walk in and just like I don't know what they expect. If it's just like, am I supposed to be playing trad music and like, you know?
Yeah, yeah. They really do expect the
and wearing overalls,
the, yeah. the kind of Darby O'Gill, the quiet man kind of stuff from back in the '30s. Like, but they get a queer fright like when they're met with stone cold reality. Like.
Oh yeah, no, you're a bit, but the fella who's like, oh yeah, but then I was over there back in the day. I was working on the things in New York and overstayed visa.
My brothers did. Yeah,
yeah, that's the one. You find some strange amounts of oversharing in pubs sometimes.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. You absolutely do. Like I'm. there was a guy one time on a car journey and. One of the fellas was driving and the lad beside him was just going, Christ almighty, it's very big, isn't it? The lights, do you see the lights over there? God, I get very down. I was like, oh yeah. Jeez, the lights are big, aren't they? They're very big, great lights, very nice. It's happening a lot often. It's, you know, it was only a guy he half knew, so... He never wanted to leave him get out of the car. Like,
I love like the old men who come up to you in the pub and they decide they're going to give you the most inspirational speech of all time.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like a few weeks ago, I was in there and my local and the guy comes, lads, I'll tell you this for free now.
Great start,
And he just goes on with this fucking weird shit. He was just like. Lads, just enjoy yourselves, all right? Enjoy it. No matter what you do, just enjoy. I hate my wife, though.
Yeah.
Like, every now and then you throw in, oh, the wife hates me, but enjoy your lives, lads.
Enjoy it, lads. Enjoy it. Like, marry a good woman, because I didn't.
I remember it was another job I had when I was window cleaning. We come out to some woman's house, and a similar thing as well. Like, she was as, like, mad as bats now. Like, so, like, we were just there finishing the job. You know, you'd have a conversation with whoever's house you're cleaning afterwards. Just kind of be like, oh, you busy, all that, whatever, like that. And, she goes out of nowhere. She's like, yeah, no, I'm very happy with the house, you know, especially, like, you know, since I got out of rehab and all that.
Yeah,
you know, it's just a thing where,
okay.
You know, I love just having a good environment myself because I was an awful druggie back in the day.
Yeah.
And I was just kind of like, sir, your windows are clean, so enjoy that.
I think we're going to just move on there now.
I think we have a job there in Glenmire.
Better
get going now, Kieran. it's very unique, I feel like, that something we have. And I think something about that uniqueness is that it's very... I suppose on paper it's unique, but I mean the three of us now just saying like three stories off the top of
our head.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's it. There's thousands more there.
I know.
And do you feel like kind of like maybe let's say that Irish, maybe like that caricature of Irish culture that is in a way quite accurate.
Yeah.
Is it easy to kind of maybe translate that into or sort of perform that in front of people who aren't familiar with it? Bit of a goldmine sometimes, especially like let's say if you're doing like with an American crowd or maybe a British crowd if they're open-minded, but you know.
Yeah, you know, it's primarily Irish crowds you're dealing with in Ireland, really. Like, you know, you do have the Americans coming to the comedy clubs and everything. They're big fans of it, I suppose. Stand-up is an American concept, really. It was created by them, so they're very open to everything, you know.
Mm.
I guess, a lot of it, like, when you look at it from the outside, it nearly writes itself. But the trick is to try and tell it in a way where you're bringing them down this nice little, oh, this is nice, ha, 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 and then bang, if I can completely random punchline then at the end. So that would be, I suppose, the stand-up comedian's aim, really. It's like, okay, I'll let them think this is very predictable and nice and easy and everything, and then hit them with a line that will... You know, not just the Irish will get it, but it's like, oh, wow, what the hell was that?
Yeah.
It's quite like a Norm Macdonald approach, you know, the way he used to, like, he would kind of just take you down, like, this long spiel.
Yeah.
He would go on for ages and ages, and then, like, he just, or, like, he'll say, like, something very, just, like, you know, past remarkable, and, like, you wouldn't think twice about it.
Yeah.
And then, he'll just catch you, and you're just in stitches afterwards, you know what I mean?
I loved his one about cancer, you know, that he's like, my uncle is he's got cancer at the moment, but everyone's saying that, like, he's waging a brave battle against cancer. It's like, look at him though, he's inside, he's just literally watching Matlock all day. It's like, oh wow, he's putting up a battle. He's no choice, you know, like he's it's a touchy subject and probably very sensitive for people, but the way he approaches it is excellent.
Yeah,
I remember there's this one bit about, you ever hear a smoking joke? I thought, it's one of my favorite bits of his. It's just like, yeah, I started smoking when I was about 15 or so because I thought it would, you know, make me really cool and I'd get a girlfriend and everyone would start liking me. And what do you know? It worked.
Yeah.
It's just like, it just completely, like, it's, I don't even know if you call it bait and switch, but like, it's just, that's the kind of comedy I feel like really.
I suppose, like, a lot of people are like, I know his voice from somewhere. Like, he was in, I don't know if you're big fans of Family Guy, but he was Death in Family Guy.
Oh, was he?
He played the Grim Reaper.
He's like, hey, Peter, what's going on? Come on, you son of a bitch. Come on, let's go. Let's get out of here. Death, wow, yeah, whatever.
Who was, like, kind of, is it American comedians you were inspired by?
No, really. I suppose, look, initially it was the Irish comedians, I suppose. Dylan Moore and Tommy Tiernan initially. Des Bishop was really big there in the mid-noughties when I was in secondary school. He did this great show called Des Bishop's Work Experience, where he went around doing everyday jobs on minimum wage. And he had to live off that for 2 weeks. It's on RT Player. Now, we actually rewatched it there about a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And like, the camera quality is terrible. Like, this is literally done on a hand camera, like a Sony or something back in the day. But that was big at the time too, because I suppose he was coming over as an American, taking the Irish perspective, and, you know, we were kind of laughing at ourselves through him.
Yeah.
So Dylan Moore and Tommy Tiernan, Des Bishop, and then I suppose from watching, I think it was more British comedy really. From watching The Comedy Store, I suppose actually Bill Burr, really back in the day, like around 2004 or 2005, absolutely brilliant. He had this Titanic bit that was unbelievable, and Milton Jones.
Milton Jones, isn't he?
And all these guys, just different types of comedians, you know, like never just the one. I love Stuart Francis, the Canadian guy. He's one liner, very pun. Terrible puns, but they're so good.
Yeah.
At the same time.
Yeah, there's do you ever see that one fella? Is it Tom Cotter? He's kind of an older American fella. It's just everything's just like straight one-liners with him. If you think about it, they're essentially all just dad jokes. Like, you know, he was like, oh, you know, I studied abroad in Colombia. Her name was Julie.
Stephen Wright was probably one of my favourites growing up too. We'll say late 90s, early noughties, you either had Sky or you didn't. And there was, like, you're not going to see Stephen Wright on RTE. So thank God. I was like, oh, thank God I have Sky. I can watch this stuff. Because he'll be telling references of his jokes to people and they're like, I never heard of that guy. I don't know what you're talking about. But yeah, I love Stephen Wright's approach to it as well. Did you know Stephen Wright?
I've never heard of him myself.
You'll see, you'll hear his voice, and you're like, okay, I know this guy. It's really deadpan. Proper deadpan.
What do you think of Ricky Gervais's stand up lately?
I haven't really watched. Do you know what? The new stand ups on Netflix specials and stuff, I don't feel compelled to watch it.
Yeah.
I just don't feel compelled to watch it like the way it, like, stand-up is best in either live or in few-minute bits.
Yeah.
I think in the hour-long thing, sitting down, watching it on TV for an hour, my mind drifts. Mm. You're going to pick out your phone, any one of them that I have watched, I'm sure they're excellent live, but when I can't focus properly, for some reason, I just can't sit down and watch a one-hour special on Netflix.
Yeah.
So I avoid it. I just really don't. I kind of just go, do you see the special? I'm like, I did, but I drifted, like.
Yeah.
Do you know?
That's why I love, like, panel shows like Mock the Week and stuff like
that.
They're
great, because it holds your attention. It's the way society's gone, and they were all falling into that trap. Like, Mock the Week was a big influence as well on me, I would say. Yeah. Like, scenes we'd like to see. You literally watch it until you can see scenes we'd like to see.
Oh, literally, yeah. Like, and it's brilliant. They have, there's like the whole playlist of like just scenes we like to see clips on YouTube, and like,
You could watch it for hours.
I have, honestly, it's some of just the most clever stuff that I've ever heard. Really.
David Mitchell was always excellent on it, you know, from Peep Show. Mitchell was brilliant on Mock the Week.
And James A. Caster as well was brilliant on it, I thought. Yeah,
excellent. Well, Frankie Boyle was probably the king of it.
Yeah.
Until
he wasn't.
I think he left himself. They were kind of trying to restrict him, and he was like, fuck this.
Yeah.
Do you know what actually got him done in the end?
What?
Well, it didn't really get him done, but he said he did the joke, and the producer ran down the steps of the audience chairs, and she went, no, absolutely not. It was... Can I say
that's
this
comedy
joke?
In and of itself.
Can I say this joke on your podcast, I suppose? Can I?
Yeah, go on.
He said, Well, it's not mine, it's his.
This is a quote, a direct quote from Frankie Boyle.
Yeah.
Delivered to you by Bernard Casey.
He said that they were talking about something anyway, about Prince Harry going into the army. And he said, Harry's going to feel, he's going to really enjoy the army until his asshole is like a collapsed mine shaft. So they said the producer, just went, no, absolutely not. The royal family are kind of goal there. Like,
yeah. Oh, gosh.
You can't like limit comedy though, can you? Like,
you can't really. Like, yeah. You can online, I suppose, and whatever, because it's accessible to everyone at any time of day and night. But like going to a live show, like, as long as it's good.
Yeah.
Do you know, sometimes people go for shock factor and you're like, yeah, it's shocking, but it's not funny.
That's why I brought out Gervais there. I thought like his most recent special was just shocking for shocking's sake. It wasn't even that clever, you know?
He was great. Like, I watched his previous ones and they're great. Like, in his TV shows, he's done an excellent, like, but I have two kids and a fucking mortgage, so no time to sit down for an hour and watch it.
I always thought that, like, it was a thing where, like, as a showrunner, complete genius, you know what I mean? Like, I think that he's one of the best British showrunners, across the board. That
the best, I'd say, like.
The one, honestly, yeah. And then, but, like, I feel like the stand-up, like, you know, it came at a time where, like, it was just... I think, like, I'm obviously, like, the Golden Globe speeches were a massive thing where it's like, I mean, that's where he just got to shine like anything else.
Well,
I'm sure.
Well, with Gervais, he started as a pop singer.
Yeah.
And then he went to acting, and then he made The Office, and such a massive success that society, like, the public were pressuring him into do stand-up.
Yeah.
They were like, this guy has to do stand-up, and he did it late, very late. His first stand-up gig was, I'd say, 2005, maybe, 2004. Yeah. Like, a lot later, and he was well into his either 30s or 40s when he started doing the actual shows, like, so it was new to him at the time, but it was different to what most people were used to watching.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And about kind of, like, obviously, like, you know, watching the specials, I can kind of empathise in how it's hard to kind of connect with a lot of the, or try to be compelled by a lot of the specials at the moment. Because, you know, like, I think it's just a thing of, like, especially on TikTok and, like, Instagram and stuff like that.
You're looking at reels. You're looking at short reels.
You see short reels. Like, I think one of the Louisiana fellow, Theo Vaughn, like, sure, he has these, like, you know, like... 30-second clips at max. And they're brilliant. Like, and I've tried to watch his special, and it just goes on, you know?
That's it, yeah.
But do you feel like there's anyone at the moment that does kind of catch your eye, maybe, like, even if it is just in, like, you know, 10, 15-second TikTok, or if it's someone that you're kind of keeping up with at the moment?
Always, I suppose, like, Chris Kent from Cork is always, he's really setting the standard. But Chris has been brilliant for years, like, even within the comedy circuit, like, he's been known as probably the best, like, and he, I suppose, post-lockdown, he kind of focused, he had all his videos, he had all his shows recorded down through the years, and he started cutting them up into 1 minute bits, and it's working unbelievably well for him.
How do you find social media has helped your career? Because obviously you have your TikTok and Instagram, you have a massive following on it.
Yeah, absolutely, like, you wouldn't be doing what you're doing only for it, really.
Yeah.
You know, like, initially my aim, I suppose, back around the, that 2013-14 period is, like, you could do two videos a year, like, and be known as a video guy.
Yeah.
Two videos a year.
Yeah.
Do you know? And all them two videos could do really well, and that would do, you know, the aim was do the video so they come to the show. And now it's kind of got to the stage where you're doing both. Like, you're doing your show and you're doing your videos. They both have to work parallel. But, like, at the same time, for stand-ups, the videos, it's all promo, like, it's like, I hope you like this, buy a ticket for my show, you know, that's the whole aim.
Yeah, sure.
of doing reels and doing things to sell out shows.
Yeah, sure. 9 times out of 10, it's yours. It's the clip, and then it's, you know, show dates afterwards.
That's,
you know,
it. Yeah, like, you know, there's, like, people do sketches, general sketches as well, for their own enjoyment or whatever, but what they might get out of it is, you know, you might get a sponsorship or ads, or, you know, you get revenue from YouTube or whatever. But for stand-ups, it's literally, this is your advertising. You're putting up your clips from your old shows that you're not going to really be doing again, and hope people come to see you. But it's really taken off, and I think it's only the last year, really, that stand-up has taken off as a kind of, within Reels and TikTok. It wasn't as popular, just, I suppose, a couple of people just took the chance and it worked. And then everyone started copying them, you know.
Yeah,
I'm doing it myself. Like, I'm like, oh, I better get my old shows. I better get on this bandwagon. It seems to be working.
I suppose there's a thing as well. It's kind of like maybe, you know, arguments can be made and can be had about, let's say, like, as a, what kind of environment maybe Ireland particularly has for stand-ups, for comics, you know, like, one thing that is good about social media in a way is that everyone's kind of on an even playing field that way.
Yeah, you know? Everyone has a chance. Yeah. You know, everyone has a chance. If it's going to work for you, like, one video could make it work for you, but you have to follow it up then with another good one, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if you put up, you could have one viral, like, a lot of the times you could click into someone and say, Jesus, this video's unbelievable. I'll click into the rest of the stuff. And the rest of it is shite. But in Ireland in general for stand-ups, it's in Cork in the last 4 or 5 years, it's got really, I don't know, even longer. It's got really good.
Yeah.
There's a lot of clubs going. You've the Coco Club in the Roundy, you've City Limits, you've Collins. So it's known as the Comedy Cavern in Collins and Douglas Street. You've the Liberty on a Monday night. You've a few other ones running. I know there's one in Gaia. There's one in... out in Middleton, there's monthly ones around Cork. Then there's a nice community in Cork and for stand-up now, I must say. And Dublin, then you're increasing that again big time, you know. So there's opportunity there. If you want to do stand-up, you can go, do your minutes. If you're good, you'll get back.
Was it kind of a gradual increase for you, or was there just one show or one thing?
No, a gradual increase, yeah. Slow to grind. Like, you'll want to be in it for the long run.
Yeah.
You know, you wouldn't want to be thinking, I want to make it quick and see what I do with it, because it just does not work that way. You really need, it's like a trade. It's like, you need to serve your time, you need to learn the ropes, you have to understand how rooms work, reading the atmosphere of a room doesn't come overnight. Like, talking to the audience, you're not going to do that straight away unless you're a particular talent. Like, you're gonna, your material, then you'll slowly and surely build it up. That's the approach I would take. Even if I did it again, it would be the same approach, because you're building up your own confidence and your experience, and I wouldn't change that kind of style. You know?
Yeah.
Where do you think that comics kind of flourish in the sense that I kind of see, like, let's say, like, American and British comedy, you know, you have on the American end, let's say it's sketch comedy, you know, it's Saturday Night Live, that sort of thing. Then the UK, it's, you're saying, panel shows, like something that's a bit more quicker and kind of like off the cuff. Do you feel like there's something, because like, obviously, you know, planning ahead of time, I suppose, I mean, that's everyone's ideal scenario, everything's planned out, everything goes to, everyone remembers their lines, can hit their mark and all that. But then, like, there's some stuff that you just can't write, and it just kind of happens by itself, and I feel like that's a bit maybe more common on the British side of things, where everything's a bit more off the cuff. And obviously we've had, you know, with some of the Irish people who've been on panel shows, you know, Mac the Week, anyone who's done Katz's Countdown or anything like that, you know. You do kind of get something that is just like, it would take you how you'd actually come up with it yourself, just like from sitting in a dark room with a
pen and a candle
candle on, just like, you know, slowly going demented by the lack of content in your head. But do you feel like there's something that kind of that is better on one side than the other, or that kind of is
between
just
American and British?
In a way,
I think, look, naturally the Irish are more leaning towards the British style, you know, like, well, it's not like, it's kind of, Irish has its own style, Britain has its own, but a lot of Irish comedians will go to London, that's the aim, really. A lot would, you know, go to Dublin, do the Dublin scene, things are going really well, you start getting booked for things in London, whatever, some people move over there for a good few years, they, you know, they do the rounds there, and like, not too many would say, oh, I want to go to New York, you know, a few have, and a few have done okay. But it's kind of the UK, really, that would be the drawing factor. And, like, if you look at Saturday Night Live, like, to be honest with you, most of it is shit, like.
Yeah.
It's fucking
shit. We actually had a conversation on this about it, like,
back in the day, it was brilliant with Will Ferrell, and even back well before that, you had
Seinfeld.
Like, the Seinfeld and Dan Aykroyd and all them lads, and it was great, like, but it's, like, majority of it's rubbish. Like,
it's cringy, I think.
It's cringe, like, I don't know what it is, really. It does not appeal to us.
It's like, safe, that's what it is.
It is, I don't know. Like, there was sometimes, like, you will get some brilliant ones.
Yeah.
Like, there was Farewell, Mr. Bunting was one of the best sketches I've seen. Now, it's a good 6 or 7 years ago. It was a play on, a pun on, Dead Poets Society.
Yeah. Okay.
So that was an excellent sketch. There was one with Tom Hanks called David Pumpkins. It was like an American, it was like a Halloween 100 Floors of Fright. It was very random, but it got funnier as it went on and on and on. Yeah. But since then, like, there's like, you'd never really go online and see, like, oh, look at this amazing sketch from SNL last week. You're like, they don't really pop up.
I always thought, okay, something that I've kind of said on the show before is that, like, in America, anyways, I feel like there's better opportunity. There wouldn't be like an Irish or a British Chris Farley, for instance, you know what I mean? Because an Irish or British Chris Farley is just a, he is just a fella down the pub in a way, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, he's a loud, kind of obnoxious fella that, like, you know, you always like to hear about, but eventually, like, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of, it's just there's a different sort of space there, you know? You don't have your, like, in Ireland, are we ever going to have our equivalent to a Rob Schneider, you know? It's like,
yeah, we have a different way of doing it. Like, yeah. We have, like, I suppose comedians are more accessible, really. We're kind of, I don't know what it is, really. We don't go, I suppose that style too was popular in the 90s and things, and times have changed, really. It's all about online and all that, but I think Ireland kind of warm and naturally to the more layman, you know, the more everyday person,
yeah.
You know, regardless of what he or she looks like or whatever, it's what they're saying, is it funny, you know?
Yeah.
And there's nothing more to it, really. Ah, yeah, he's funny, I like him. You know, it's not about his beliefs, or, you know, there's this kind of whatever. It's just that, is he funny or is he not? She's good, he's good,
whatever.
Yeah. That's the way I see it anyway. It's,
yeah,
if you're good or you're not, like, you know.
So going into, like, your improv, you've been involved in the Improv Panto and Cork Opera House, and like, how much of your stand-up nowadays would be off the cuff and planned?
A lot of it would be. No, you'd dedicate the first 10 minutes anyway of a solo show to stand up, talking to the crowd, front row, back and forth, whatever. When I do the characters then, or Gossip or Nephew, a lot of it would be improv. I'd have Gossip would have one or two stories, Nephew would have one or two stories, improv, then go to the story, improv, then go to the story.
Yeah.
But people most enjoy the improv.
Mm.
Yeah. When it's going well, you know.
There's something special about comedy when you know it's just happening. You know what I mean?
It is, and that's where the laughs are coming from. Like, if you go to general improv, it's the laughter in the room is unbelievable, because people know this isn't actually coming off the top of their head. So even, like, I do drama workshops in secondary schools, and I do a drama round, improv round with the students, to show them the basics of this is a kind of few techniques you can use. You know, this all you need to know where you are, who you are, and go from there. Start with this line and away you go. And you can see they're loving it, they're laughing, because they're coming rough out of the top of their heads. Never did it before. You know, you can see the natural kind of, you can see where the buzz is coming from.
Yeah.
That was something we were going to ask you to.
This was the game that we
were.
Okay.
Would you perchance be able to walk us through a improv teaching technique that would perhaps, hopefully, be some bit good, or else this is going to be really embarrassing when it gets posted.
So one thing I would do is, I teach it to 16, 17 year olds. So it's like, okay, location, okay, principal's office, okay, characters, principal, student. Principal, you're not a normal principal. You believe in energy, crystals, methodologies.
Excellent.
Student, you're new to the school. It's your third time being brought to the office.
Okay.
Why? Because you're sensing bad vibes. No other reason. No other reason. So you're totally confused as to why you're constantly in trouble.
Okay.
And then it's, okay, action.
So it's you again. Do you know why you're here today?
No, sir, no.
There's just something, your aura, it's just, I feel like it's tainted.
What's tainted, sir?
Your aura.
I did nothing.
I can sense something about to happen.
Okay, I'm going to pause, I'm going to add a character. I'm going to come in and I'm going to be your mother. My name is Karen, I'm very difficult, and you're my golden child. Okay, ready, set, action. What the hell do you think you're doing talking to my son? You just what?
I'm trying to understand.
Trying? What are you trying to do?
I don't think you're trying, to be honest.
Just tell me, why is my son here?
It's his aura.
Aura. Aurora Borealis? Northern Lights? What's aura? What are you talking about?
It's the vibe. It doesn't...
The vibe. Sorry, are we at Woodstock 69 or Woodstock 99? Sorry. What's happening? Is this not a school?
I think I'm there sometimes.
Yeah, quite obviously. Like, yeah, I have heard about you. You know that.
Oh,
you know,
really?
Not in a good light.
I didn't say anything.
Yeah. Just listen now a second now to Terry, okay? We sent our son to the school because it's the only one within 20 kilometers, all right? Yes. And are you telling me that my son that I have born and reared, you're telling me his aura is off, is it?
I think just he's traveled such a long way to become 20 kilometers? Really?
It's not that much pressure, really. It's fine.
Oh, but I feel like it's taking a toll on you, and I just...
Taking a toll. So you would know all about tolls when you're paying $4.60 a day for tolls every day coming to the school, because we can't go anywhere else. The other schools are too far away. It's on the way to work, isn't it? It's on the way from my work. I'm able to drop him off and pick him up in the end. Can you look after my son when I'm putting him in here, please?
To answer your first question, I cycle. I take care of him in the way that I take care of all my students. I let them be them, but I need them to be them together.
Together, right.
And I just don't think that Terry has become himself.
She told us we need to start growing lettuce on our windowsills, Mum.
Does the department know you're in charge here, or what's going on?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. If I rang the Department of Education now and asked that, what's your name?
My name is Eugene Buttertone.
Eugene Buttertone.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, so you paused and yes. You had to think for a second. Are you sure this isn't some form of scam?
I might be after a little microdose.
Right. Okay,
morning.
Terry, pick up your bag. We're going. He is on drugs. This man is on drugs. Let's get out. I'm calling the department. Mindfulness, my arse. He can bloody stay at home and think about how he's going to clean his room. That's mindfulness enough for you. Thank you very much, Mr. Butternose or whatever your name is. Terry, come on, pick up your bag.
Can we go to McDonald's?
We can go to McDonald's. Yes, come on, let's go.
Okay.
And see.
Be peace.
That was good.
I don't know what came over me.
I blanked there, like, absolutely.
It does happen as well. Like, would you kind of give them?
I couldn't think of a name.
Yeah, that's good. Like, but that's like if the crowd were watching that now, they'd be going, and then do like Eugene
Buttertone.
There you go. Yeah, it just happened. Yeah, blanks are natural.
Yeah.
The other game is a game called Passport. It's so two people have a conversation and then you speak in your own voice. Like, it's like, okay, talk about the weather. Okay, and when I say passport, you have to change to the accent I've given you. So I give you a piece of paper.
That's tough enough. All right.
We'll edit this a bit problematic for sure. Let's go.
Okay, so you got 10 minutes left. We can do something good with this now.
Yes.
He's got a brilliant one.
Okay, so your topic of conversation is Rag Week.
So, okay.
Your own voice first.
Did you enjoy Rag Week?
Yeah, I went out a few times. It was good, you know. I went to Conway's one night and then the Garden. It was pretty good. Passed out in Washington Street. It wasn't great, like, you know.
Did you wear prinking heavy, like?
I spent the night in Anglesey Street, like, it wasn't great.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's quite grim.
Passport.
Really? An Anglesey Street?
Yeah.
I thought that they would take you to the Bridewell.
No.
I went to Unbrook and I had a wonderful time. I got a stamp because there is no shifting at the bar.
And see, there we go. One of us has. There we go.
Oh, brilliant.
We had French and. Can we tell them what the other one was?
Alex Shukel.
Scottish. That's an accent I cannot do for the life of me.
Yeah, it's not Scottish.
Scottish.
Just talk about football, Celtic and Rangers.
Spent the night in Anglesey Street.
Spent the night in Anglesey Street.
I spent the night in Anglesey Street, so I did. I didn't know how I got there, but sure, I knew where I was when I woke up.
Yeah, I'm Dundee via Dunmanway.
Oh, gosh. Thank you very much for coming on.
No
today.
Matter, that's thanks very much. And more power to you. Fair play to you.
Is there anything you have coming up that you want to talk about?
I'm at home in Kerry this weekend, two nights in Waterville and Tech Hammer again. So, and then after that, I'll take a little break. I have a lot of workshops in schools.
Yeah.
For that, videos and things like that to do over the next month. And then I'm back on the road again. I'm in Charleville. I'm in Port Leash. I have Vicar Street coming up, but we're pushing that date out a little bit. So we're going to go. So it'll be all full on gigging, workshops, videos, you know yourself. Just keep the show on the road.
That's exactly, yeah. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much for coming on.
Not a matter.
Thank you.
Not
a matter.